Last bit of my job today is to introduce our next guest speaker, a great, great man of God who had labored in the gospel for years and years, who once served in virtually every important office in the PFN. He was once a secretary, national secretary of the PFN. He was once the national vice president of PFN, deputy president of PFN. He was once the president of PFN. And he is the presiding bishop of TREM in the person of Bishop Mike Okonkwo. Shall we stand on our feet to welcome him with a loud ovation?
I am so excited.
God bless you.
To be invited to be part of this auspicious occasion. I want to first of all give glory to God and I send my appreciation to every one of you instrumental in making this a reality. This is a dream come true, a dream come true, because for many years I've been asking that, listen, we should have a generational shift where the young people that God is raising up and strategically positioning to begin to take over. Because without successors, then we cannot claim to have succeeded. And so I'm glad that this dispensation of the Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria have deemed it fit to begin to move in that direction. So I give God all the praise. And let me also apologize that it would have been my desire to be physically present. But before I knew of this program, I already have a lot of invitations and engagements that will make it not possible for me to be there physically. I believe God that in subsequent meetings I'll be able to come. So I give God all the praise. Let us just celebrate the awesomeness of God, His goodness, His loving kindness, His mercies, His grace that's always sufficient for us. Father, we give you all the praise, we give you all the honor, we give you all the adoration. I ask, oh God, that these few minutes that we fellowship around your word, thank you for giving me clarity of thoughts and precision of expression. Thank you for the hearts and eyes, ears of your people that are open to receive and retain the mysteries of the kingdom. Father, let eternal seeds be deposited in their hearts that will move them into the dimension of your divine agenda for these last days. I give you all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open by reading from the scriptures. Then I'll share a few thoughts. 25 minutes actually is not enough to develop what God has put in my spirit. But I believe that the few words you receive will be able to challenge you and put you in the direction where you begin to search and open yourself wide for the Holy Spirit to use you as instruments and tools in His hands in these last days. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. We're going to read it in King James, and then we're going to also look at it in New Living Translation. Isaiah 43, from verse 18 and 19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Glory to God. Give it to me in New Living Translation. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. 19. For I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Glory to God. Glory to the Prince of Peace and to the Lord of Lords. Let's now also read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Verse 2. For He said, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, we are living in the day when the enemy, the devil, had unleashed terror upon the nations of the world. Violence everywhere, bloodshed everywhere, immorality, tragedy, and misfortune everywhere. But even at the same time, the God that you and I serve is also absolutely in control of what is going on, because he is sitting down. Nothing that is happening is taking him unawares, because it's like simultaneously God is shifting gear concerning his church and raising up new leadership that will be able to brutally confront their confrontations and attack the attackers. And I dare say that you are that generation. Glory to God. My generation saw the move of God in diverse ways. You see, we were those that God raised up from the backside of the desert. Never had a template. We had churches who were called in the past mushroom. From mushroom, God translated us into mushroom. Where we were moved from worshiping in auditoriums made of corrugated iron sheets or palm fronds. But today, we worship in large cathedrals and ultra-modern auditoriums with air condition, comfortably seated. We've transited. God has moved us from the time when offerings are counted in pennies, or even at times when services are over, you hardly see anything in the offering plate. But now we know there are churches today and Christian gatherings today where it takes days, if not months, to count the offerings. We also see, we are taking note of where nations are today, taking notice of the church. The church is presently wielding the type of power we have never wielded. So, with all these, you see, and many more that I can count, but let me just limit it at this. It will be easy, so easy, to think that God has finished what he wants to do. But that's a lie from the pit of hell. This generation must not be stuck. Don't be stuck in the old glory. No, you must not allow yourself to be stuck in the old glory. I make bold to challenge every one of you under the sound of my voice that whatever you've seen so far is old glory. It's still nothing compared with what God wants to do. The scripture tells us very clearly, the glory of the latter day house shall be greater than the former. You are that latter day house. Haggai chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. That the glory of the latter day house shall be greater than the former. Haggai 2, from 8 and 9. Hear the word of the Lord. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter day house shall be greater than of the former, said the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, said the Lord of hosts. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. You see, it is always from glory to glory, from glory to glory. Our text in Isaiah tells us very clearly. It says, forget all that. Whatever you have seen, that emphasis is very key. Whatever you have seen in today's church is nothing compared with what God has ordained to do through you. It's nothing compared. He said, I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. That's God speaking. He said, forget all that. The big meetings you've seen, thousands and millions gathering together, large auditoriums like stadiums. He said, forget all that. It is nothing compared You that is sitting down under the sound of my voice, I'm telling you, it is nothing compared with what God intends to do. I remember several years ago, early 70s into 80s, when Pa Elton, the missionary from United Kingdom, who lived in Elisha, was sharing the prophetic word that God gave to him, that time will come when large auditoriums, warehouses, will belong to the church. Those are the days of small beginnings. No one will ever fathom that it will ever happen. But today, we are seeing them happening. Forget what you have seen. It is nothing compared with what is going to happen. God will do great things. You will notice that even today's music is changing. The music right now is tilting towards Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Focus on his mercy and his grace. It's no more focusing on personal self-effort and performance, but on Jesus, the owner of the church, who said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And not only that, you will notice also that prayer is rising up from different angles, rising up to God. And you know what that means. When the cloud is full, there will be rain. So I'm expecting heavy downpour of the Holy Spirit upon this generation. Heavy downpour. So understand this, understand it. So it's very important that as those of you whom God has endowed and given the privilege to be alive in this generation, you must not take this great grace for granted. No. There is already a shift in the spirit. I want to say it boldly to all of you new generation that this is now your time to take the bull by the horn. It's now your time to take the baton. You are not a generation that is coming. You are here. It's time to take the baton, and you are specially graced and privileged to take it at this time. Whatever we have done is nothing compared to what God said to do through you. It will be an insult, an abuse to grace. It will be an insult, an abuse to grace that you have been exposed to. For you to limit yourself in any way, you must think outside the box. You must break through every limitation. You must begin to do bold things, huge things, powerful things that will shock your world. You must be audacious, bold, audacious. You must be daring. You know, brutally committed to the righteousness that you have received in Christ, and march into Satan's territory and begin to wrest from his hands the victory that he has denied sons of men. You are that generation that will demonstrate the messianic presence. Carry the glory of God into the marketplace. No more limited in the four walls of a church. Carry God's glory into marketplace. That's your generation is the generation that will do it. Breaking through from every tradition and every culture. You are that generation. That is why hell is bent to ensure that it destroys your generation. But I declare, however, that you are unstoppable. God, who has begun this work in you, will surely complete it. Fear not, because you already have all sufficient grace for all things available to you. You must not waste this grace. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. In the book of Daniel chapter 11 verse 32. Daniel 11 32 said, those who do violently to the covenant shall be corrupt with flatteries. Those who do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt with flatteries. But the people that do know. Hallelujah. I love that. Their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, I want to share a few things you must know. If there is anything I want to leave with you, that you stay with you longest time you live, is that knowledge of God must be primary in your life. The desire, the hunger to know God. It is those who know that do. Those who know their God are those who do. Until you know God, you can't know yourself. Because we are made in the image of God. You cannot know your true identity until you know God. And you know what? God is not geography, history, or biology. God is a revelation. You know when you follow on to know. So it's important. There must be pursuit to it. Desire to know God and how he functions. That must be your desire. That's one, number one primary assignment. Very important if you are going to be effective and do anything significant in this your shift, in this your generation. You must. I'm not talking about knowing him technically. I'm talking about intimate knowledge of God. Intimate knowledge. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, despite of religious pedigree and all he was able to achieve as a Pharisee, he said, look at the church, but whatever he counted as gain, he counted them as loss. Everything as dung, he threw them into the garbage can. The day he had an encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Hear his testimony that I have no other desire. This man had been to third heavens and God had used him mightily to do mighty things in the body. But look at his hunger. He said, I'm not yet satisfied that I may know him. Hallelujah. The power of his resurrection and fellowship of his suffering that I may be made conformable unto his death. He said, that's my desire. I'm not yet attained. I'm not yet made perfect. He said, look, I follow after. I pursue that I may apprehend that which for which have I been apprehended. I've pressed through for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. He said, that's my desire. When I think I've known him, I still find that I've not known him. God is a revelation. That was why Jesus Christ was able to function in the cutting edge. If you have to be in the cutting edge, you must understand this very spiritual principle. The more of God you know, the stronger you become. Revelation. Revelation is key to be effective in your in this new dispensation. Very key. You cannot afford. It's not something you shoot once and then you go back. No. It becomes your lifestyle to know God. Because when you think you know, the next time he will show you another side of himself. God is not only our savior, he's our healer, he's our deliverer, he's a miracle worker, he's the power you need, he's grace. God is our defender. When you think you know, he shows different parts of him. So it's important. And in knowledge of God, you must have insatiable hunger for the word of God, because it's the word of God that will show you everything about God. It's a word. You must be hungry for God's word if you must be effective. Not human opinion, because there is power in the word of God. Jesus said, my words are spirit and my words are life. That the entrance of his word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. My word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Yes, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Through thy word, you've made me wiser than the ancients. You may be stronger than my enemies because they are ever with me. Through thy words, O God, I fight battles and silence the voice of the enemy. The word of God is very key. So you must be an addict of God's word. Put it in your heart because the word of God is your reality. Not what you read in the newspaper or social media. The word of God is your reality. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shining in darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it. And in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that in which I please, and prosper in that whereunto I sent it. A man loaded with the word of God is dangerous. It's very dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Loaded with the word. And when you allow that word proceed out of your mouth, no force of the enemy will be able to stand before you. So it's very important. Then I want to also let you know that your family comes first before ministry, because family is a microtype of the church. Many times we make the mistake of making family secondary. We get involved in ministry, running from pillar to post, and our family is destroyed. Understand that ministry begins from your home. From your home, ensure that your family is very held together. Ensure that you don't neglect and put your family as secondary. To God is very important. So make sure that the family altar remains aflame on a daily basis. That is for those of us who are already married. But for those of you who are not married, I want to challenge you. Listen, don't ever think of marriage outside the call of God upon your life. Because the person you marry can either assist you to attain what God has ordained, or be an instrument, a tool in the hands of God to destroy it. I say it in Bible schools when I go to teach. When you marry wrongly, half of your ministry is gone. Your wife is supposed to be help. Both of you should have the same vision, same direction. And so if there is a division, you're already in trouble. So it's important. Family. And the importance of family in ministry cannot be overemphasized. I don't have enough time, but I think that understanding of these few things that I've dropped in your spirit will assist you. One, you should know God. Two, you should be an addict of the word of God. Three, your family is so key and vitally important. Four, those of you who are not married, take into consideration your ministry before you marry. It should be a very, very vital aspect. There is nothing like, you see, when I have married her, then she will understand. No. It's a key issue you must settle once and for all. Once it is settled, then you are on your way to make impact. Thank you, Father. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for all these ones under the sound of my voice. I pray that this new dispensation, oh God, your deposit in them, will make them alive. Lord, will put them in the global scene of your divine agenda. That none of them will be a byword. None of them will be lost in the crowd. Your divine purpose concerning them shall be fulfilled. Their destiny will not be cut short. I declare it on the authority of God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim the blessing of dominion, the blessing of possession, the blessing of increase, abundance, opportunity, creativity, concepts and ideas, and insight. The blessing of favor will rest upon you. I will hear your testimony. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Hallelujah. If you want to shout, please shout.